Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We should have known.
What happened?
We've gotten our hopes up over and over again.
Damn it.
Only to have our hearts broken.
Mm.
Because this place is more than just a delicious restaurant and a great bar. It's part of the fabric of Rochester.
Oh, yeah.
Has been for a century.
Unique place.
But for whatever reason, it feels like there is a curse hanging over this beachside paradise that will keep it from opening ever again.
Oh, damn.
Okay, don't be a dick. This is seriously, I'm
Come
really
on.
Sad about
yeah,
this.
It's by the way, I'm one guy.
I
actually drank there all the time.
So did I. Well, I drank, but I ate there.
Right.
You hanging out at the Breaker
Rush. Wait, man, your parents couldn't afford this place.
My grandparents could. You're hanging out at the Breaker Rush, just classic rock, 96.5 WZMF. Last year, all lifelong Rochester residents got news that put a massive smile on all of our faces.
What's going on?
The old Crescent Beach.
Oh, yeah, I got something booked there next month.
Yeah, every show ever. Oh, it turns out it's canceled. The old Crescent Beach, which had been closed since 2013, was going to open once again.
Yeah, and she was dumping a lot of money into the joint.
But yeah, Tommy, and it was, oh, she's dumping money into the joint to bring it back the way that it was. It wasn't just opening. It was going to be returned to its full nostalgic glory. That classic sign was going to be restored the way that it was. They were going to do the brunches they were famous for. The bar was going to get redone.
But she was doing like
we knew it was
going to
take a lot.
Like
a, yeah.
Yeah, she had all kind of dreams for it.
Catherine Mott Formicola, a woman who owns other restaurants in the area, she was the one that was going to bring it back.
Yeah.
And we found out, like we said, not only would it be like we remembered, but better. And if you lived in Rochester for 20, 30, 40 years, you know all about the glory of the Crescent Beach.
It was the nicest joint on the west side, hands down.
Fair statement.
Oh, yeah.
Right on the water?
Unique. Yeah, right on the lake.
When you sat there, you didn't even feel like you were eating on the west side. Like, all your cares went away.
Mm.
Your
were
loud
you,
kids.
Were you going there when you were living down in Cornhill in your apartment where it almost got set on fire because someone put a cheese sandwich on a hot plate?
Possibly.
When you drunkenly backed into the building and just walked away?
Yes.
I'm sorry, what were you saying about class? The brunches, Kimmy, were amazing.
Yeah.
The dinner you shared with your parents or grandparents.
Oh, yeah. Mother's Day.
It was always
Father's
a big to-do, like a big family thing. You didn't, I mean, that's how I remember it as a kid.
They had that old school bar.
Great. And now we were going to get to have a chance to not only go back to it, but share it with our own kids.
Yeah.
Then the problem started. Last fall, the owner, Mott Formicola, was charged with financial crimes. And long story short, her banks accused her of writing checks with no money, or excuse me, well, yes, writing checks with money she didn't have by moving chunks of cash from account to cover the balances. Mm. It's known as check kiting.
Yeah.
The scheme led to, according to 13 Wham,
what is it?
A loss from the banks of almost $19 million.
19?
19, which I guess they're going to notice.
Like
I would overdraw $12, it would hit me with a $30 fee.
Wow.
$19 million. Whew.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
By the way, do you think that's still one $30 overdraw fee, or do they get you for more?
All right.
So at the time, the owner said it was a big misunderstanding and she would clear the whole thing up.
Okay, all right.
And further, she said the Crescent Beach would still open as planned.
All right.
Everything was still on schedule.
Yes. Plan. Yeah. Good, good, good. Right. Well, yesterday, Catherine Mott Formicola pleaded guilty to fraud and money laundering. Mm-hmm. She is a sentencing scheduled for May 1st of next year. And the guilty plea that she agreed to carries a maximum prison sentence of 30 years.
But with the terms with the prison, she gets to do all the catering. It's going to be phenomenal. So 30 years.
Yeah. Well, okay, look, that's what she could get.
Right,
she's
right.
Not going to get 30 yet.
Yeah.
But the fact that she even has the potential to do prison probably means that there's no more Crescent Beach, right?
Mm-hmm. I think.
Probably not.
I don't know who's taking that over.
Phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. This is super depressing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am very depressed. And it's extra depressing that it happens this time of year because Crescent Beach was famous not only for its Christmas parties, its holiday parties, but the holiday lights display that they would put up.
Sure.
And, I mean, it would be impossible with all of this going on that the doors are going to open again.
No.
Right? It's over? Okay.
I can't imagine who would have the money to dump into that place.
Right.
To make it work. Like, how many... let's say that place costs $20 million to build.
Yeah. It would almost be like you would need an extra $19 million that you didn't have to get it done.
Just on the side. Like, right? how much Clams Casino in Manhattan do you have to sell to get your money back?
And I'm guessing if anybody came in and let's say they had the cash to make it work, wouldn't you look at the history of the place and be like, I don't think I'm touching that.
Well, let's talk about that. And that's where the story gets strange. So this woman pleads guilty to fraud and money laundering and all this stuff. And you go, oh, man, what are the odds? Okay. This is just one case of a business person pleading guilty to a crime involving the Crescent Beach, because the Crescent Beach has a weird history of the people owning it getting in trouble. In 2010, the restaurant was briefly closed for non-payment of taxes. Mm. It was then closed again for the winter in 2012, never opened its doors again. That buried it. They were going to reopen under another name, but that was shut down when inspectors found illegal construction work going on without a permit.
Yeah, okay.
You want to talk about West Side? Mm-hmm. An investigation after that found several other violations. That shut that down. Mm. Investors from Canada purchased the property in 2013 with plans to open their own Italian restaurant, but that was plagued by delays, more code violation, and then they got in trouble with liens for unpaid work on the property. And
so
that,
people didn't get paid.
Exactly. And that was the end of that
right.
until the most recent purchase. So from 2013 until 2024, 11 years, there have been four different cases involving people doing allegedly illegal things that were trying to reopen the Crescent Beach. Is the Crescent Beach cursed? Crescent Beach cursed.
All right, maybe.
Kind of feels
so.
Like it.
Why does it keep happening?
But at one time, it was one of the hot spots in town.
Remind me again, why did it shut down in the first place?
It just
business? Or was it?
Well, one of the problems was, too, is that the audience died out. It was an older joint where, like, younger people weren't going to.
Okay, that's what I was. I mean, I was wondering, like, was, you know, the business itself failing?
It was an old. It was known as an old farce joint.
Yes.
So you weren't going there.
Well, but I I'm the wrong guy to ask because the brunch, I'll go anywhere with good brunch.
They had some of the best Clams Casino I've ever eaten.
Yeah, I bet.
What do you mean?
Nothing.
You don't like Clams Casino?
I don't, actually.
You don't even know what it is.
I know what Clams Casino is. Sure, I know.
What do you think? It's a James Bond movie?
I know. Why do you think?
So you like clams, do you?
I love how you, like, by the way, Clams Casino isn't even all that high-end a dish, and you're, like, trying to play it
it's
off.
It's got casino
and
in
you're
it.
Shaggy. Ugh, you don't even know Clams. You don't even get Big Macs with sauce, bro. You ain't classy enough for that. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Again, the woman who bought the Crescent Beach Hotel restaurant was going to bring it back to its former glory, accused of a $19 million check-kiting scheme fraud. She has pleaded guilty to crime. She's facing up to 30 years in prison when she's sentenced in May, but it has to mean that the Crescent Beach is not opening again. So here's what's strange.
Right.
Now, granted, it closes in 2013 because, like you said, they weren't making money, and it had this reputation of being an old farce place.
It hadn't been updated in years.
But right now,
it
seems like a place people want to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's prime real estate.
Mm-hmm.
The memories help.
You're on the water. It's beautiful.
Everyone that is gone in the past was going to go check it out at least once.
Yeah.
And the most important thing, that whole vintage restaurant bar vibe is very trendy right now.
People are making new places look old.
We just talked about it 2 weeks ago. There's a steakhouse that opened in downtown Rochester that you can't get a reservation for months, and it looks like it was built in the 40s and 50s.
The old school,
exactly. right? Those places are opening and doing well. Why? What the hell about the Crescent Beach? This keeps happening.
I don't know.
Somebody tell me. 252-WCMF.
One of the other problems with a place like that, it's so isolated. There's nothing else around it.
Well, it's like kind of in a neighborhood, really. I mean, it's right on Edgemere. Right?
But there's like no other things around there you would be doing. Like, you go there for that. There's nothing else there.
Yeah.
But that's most restaurants. I mean, if most restaurants going to a restaurant, like, that's what I'm doing that
night. Listen to
right?
old school Tommy. You grab a nickel, you take the trolley down to Battery Park, you go see a movie, have a meal, then you got enough left over for a steak and kidney pie after.
I mean, are you walking around after every
No, but you don't. But there's no other reason to go down there.
Okay,
so you don't have. Live there.
You're not in a mall. You're not in a strip mall. You're in the middle of nowhere.
Why would you want to walk around a strip mall?
You hate all of that. When you go out, you go to where you're going and you go home. That's most people.
Yeah.
Well, then why do they put them in malls? Why do they put them in strip malls?
Because what are you going to do? Build your own freestanding, or you don't want to build your own freestanding restaurant because that's more expensive?
And that's why this thing is stuck there.
But it already exists.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to. You got to like put all your money in.
I understand. I just.
I don't think you could ever make money in that place. Even if it was a success, the amount of money you would have to make to pay your nut off.
But I see what you're saying. Okay, money wise, yes, but I don't. I mean, it's in Greece. It's in the largest suburb.
They
in
don't
Rochester.
Eat, don't spend.
Greece yes. don't spend. Go to Red some night, bro. Bro, the line's out the effing door.
Yeah, and you know what? He's missing sugar bowls. He's missing cutlery.
Yeah, why do you think he's walking around talking to everybody all the time?
He's missing five Sinatra paintings he's put up there. I want to know how much sugar he gets ripped off and how many sugar holders and salt and pepper shakers he's got to replace.
I love how you said Greece don't spend. If you drive down Ridge Road on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, every parking lot for every restaurant is jam-packed
but
full of
chintzers,
people.
But they're
chintzers,
man.
My ass. You
they're
know.
Not going out. They ain't paying for Clams Casino.
What is with you thinking Clams Casino is... You don't think they're buying Clams Casino at the Italian restaurant?
I don't... It's tough, okay. man. It's a tough sell with these people.
I also love, too, you know, you can't build a freestanding building and make money. So, as we go to Reds, a freestanding building.
Inside a mall.
Yeah, where? There's nothing
there's
there.
There's shopping centers all over there.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go take a walk at Walmart I'm done.
There's a golf course. There's action. Traffic.
It's a country club with a restaurant in it.
But there's no traffic.
You're so dumb.
Like berries.
Wait, what?
That were Barry's Crescent Beach.
Oh, I thought you were saying where they bet like you were making a hedge. Like, where they bury them.
No, buried.
I mean, look, if it ain't a curse on the Crescent Beach, explain what's been happening. I mean, you could argue that the Crescent Beach is the most missed restaurant in the greater Rochester area.
Mm.
Like, if you did a power ranking of restaurants that once existed that you would want to go back to again, Crescent Beach is up there. I think Mario's Via Bruzzi is up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that place.
Just the uniqueness of those places.
Tokyo Restaurant, remember on West Henrietta Road?
Oh, yeah, yeah, the steakhouse.
Is there anything else you guys can think of that disappeared that you'd love one more meal?
Spaghetti Warehouse.
Okay, but that wasn't a Rochester restaurant.
I know.
Yeah, that was a chain.
And you were like 7.
I liked it, though.
Yeah, you like warehouse
I would like to go walk around it one more time.
Did you hear it, too? She became 7. I liked it. I like spaghetti.
I guess spaghettis.
Can I
Who
get
doesn't
pescetti?
Want a warehouse of spaghetti?
No, it was great, but it wasn't Rochester. Like, outside of Mario's, Tokyo, and the Crescent Beach, can you think of another restaurant that you would rather have open that closed from back in the day?
I mean, there was a couple that closed, like the Glen Edith was a great joint on the water, and the other one was the Newport House on the east side.
Okay, I've never been to either of those, but they're
fancy.
No, but knowing, like hearing you say it, knowing you went.
But you never went to the Newport House.
Where's the Newport House?
It was right by the bridge on the Irondequoit.
Oh, that's how you knew it was good. It's because it was right by the bridge.
You couldn't go.
No, I love you. You know, you gotta have inside a shopping mall. No, where I go get my fancy food down by the bridge.
Yes. But it was on the water. It was nice.
I don't ever want to feed.
And then there was the Water's Edge, too. There was like
I remember the Water's Edge.
So there was 3 really nice restaurants on Irondequoit Bay that went out of business within 10 years.
Is that just because it was more of a seasonal place to go, maybe?
But most of them stayed open year-round. But people didn't go after a while.
I mean, that is what's funny about Rochester, too. You will drive down to the coldest, windiest, nastiest place in the community if the food's good. Like, what we are willing to do to go get good food is...
So there's like a couple left. There's that joint Castaways on the water that's really good.
Yep.
And then there's Hedges. And that's like the only 2 left that are on the lake.
Okay, by the way, do you go to any place that doesn't have one name that tries to sound fancy? Right. Where are you going? Castaways, Hedges, the Glen Edith is 3, but it still kind of sounds douchey. What was the Glen Edith?
So the Glen Edith was on.
Don't care!
It was a really high end. Like bar restaurant, but it was old school steakhouse.
Oh wow,
it was delicious.
The fact that you went lets me know that it wasn't that high
end. Bro, it was super high end. Maybe. And they poured you really good old school drinks.
But maybe that's part of the problem. All these places were too high end. You only need like one high end place on the water. Everything, you could make it a little more casual, a little bit more appealing to the average person.
I get where you're coming from with like that East Side stuff. I think that's what made Crescent Beach so good is because it was high end, but it wasn't like unattainable high end. Do you get what I mean?
Right. That's what I mean.
Good point. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought that's what you meant. Is like,
no,
it was
I'm
too
saying
nice.
Like I mean like the places you're naming. Like it seems like maybe there were just too many of the same type of places.
Like there was another one called God, what's it? Grinnell's.
Oh yeah,
it was on Monroe, and that was a great steakhouse. But you know they retired. They just closed the joint.
252 WCMF again. As we're talking about how the new owner of the Crescent Beach, after being accused of a $19 million check kiting scheme, has pleaded guilty to fraud and money laundering. She is facing 30 years in prison for her sentencing on May 1st. It looks as if the Crescent Beach, which we all got excited to be opening again.
Yeah.
Can't imagine it's going to open unless somebody sweeps in and buys this out from under her. Kimmy, what do you got over there?
Well, we did get a couple tweets and somebody also called with this, but they think it's cursed because somebody died in the fire back in the day.
Yeah, but didn't it kind of keep going for like 30 years after the fire, 40 years? It got better after the fire. It caught fire in the 1970s. Yeah.
Oh, everything caught fire in the
70s. What a stupid thing.
You know how many massive fires we had in the 70s?
You could argue its glory years, not to downplay somebody dying in a fire, but you could argue the glory years were the 80s and 90s, right? Like, that's when it was the most packed.
Yeah, probably.
We were asking about other restaurants that you wish you could have one more meal in. Paul writes us, he misses Bosdykes. Do you remember Bosdykes?
No.
It was in Gates.
Oh.
Was it? Lyle Ave. It was like, it was in the vein of a party house. Like, real old school, like, 70s, 80s kind of food. I love Bosdykes.
All right. Yeah, most of the party houses are gone.
Yeah, I know we've talked about this before, but if I could have like one Rochester wish, it would be one more party house night.
Wow.
At a meal, you know, that really, the pasta.
It's the Diplomat.
Yeah, oh God.
That was the number one joint for food.
Well, let's not discount the party house near the airport.
I mean, they were all good, but the Diplomat like had it all. Everything you were looking for in a party house, they had.
The amount of times I accidentally met former middleweight champion Carmen Basilio at the Diplomat. I mean, that's what it just went in. Like, oh, that guy want to have a championship belt. There he is. Hey, smacks you in the face.
Do you think if somebody opened, like, if there was a party house today, like, would that do well? Or would that not quite have the same draw for younger people?
If you did it right.
Okay, but what's doing it right?
Yeah.
Well, you got to make it appealing to a younger person.
Well, then it's not a party house.
Yeah. It is, but you just got
to. You'd have to change it too much.
You'd have
to
modernize it.
No.
Because even the Burgundy Basin, which was kind of modern, they kind of let that thing go.
Okay, but that's what I mean, though. Like, I think we're having two different nostalgic trips here, because the only reason I want to go back to these party houses, I want to walk into a place with wood paneling and formica.
Yeah.
I want there to be like weird shapes of glass on the bar.
Oh, well, you're saying people want that again.
I want my bartender to be a 60-year-old woman with like sprayed hair up to here wearing a bow tie.
We still got them.
The cummerbund is not covering any of the sins, but she's wearing it for some reason anyway.
I think that would work. You're saying people want that stuff.
Well, no, I think people want the classy Mad Men version of that. They don't want the actual version of what it was. Because like that bar, they just opened up the steakhouse that we talked about last week. Doesn't look anything like that.
Oh.
They're like classy people.
All right.
With all due respect to the 60-year-old women that were cursing at me for trying to order alcohol underage. Get the hells out of my face. I knows you's kids.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The most important part of committing a crime, Tommy.
Well, getting away with it.
Stealth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pull it off.
Yeah. Wrong, bitch. This story tells us maybe it's balls.
Oh.
That's what helps you get away with it. Because it would take balls to try and pull off what these criminals accomplished. And the craziest part is they did it successfully.
All right.
They were so brash that something that seemed impossible to take.
Yeah.
Authorities are now trying to locate somewhere in the greater Rochester area. And when you find out what it is, oh my God.
Wow.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. The story comes to us from Henrietta.
What happened?
Story on 13 Wham. Says that over the weekend, a local property service company delivered a 30,000-pound wheel loader to the Commons Shopping Plaza on Jefferson Road.
What the hell's a wheel loader?
You've seen these. They're the massive yellow tractor-trailer-looking things with the giant scoop plow on the front of them.
Okay.
And they use them to move snow and salt around parking lots.
Oh, so this is a big piece of heavy
equipment. Yeah.
You got it, yeah. So they dropped it off Saturday. And then on Sunday afternoon, they sent someone back to check on it to get it ready to get the snow out of the parking lot. And when that employee got there, the 30,000-pound wheel loader was gone.
So somebody just drove off with this big piece of heavy equipment.
Somehow.
But you would see it on
got it moving.
Between 10 a.m. on Saturday and 2:30 p.m. on Sunday, somebody stole it.
Drove it.
They stole it. And it sounds like someone just got in the thing and drove it down Jefferson Road.
But you can't hide it.
But maybe that's part of the brilliance of it. Because if you saw that making its way down the road, you probably, you're not calling the cops, right?
I mean, she's right. You would be pissed that you're stuck behind the slow thing. You would want to get a look at who's driving it because you're interested in that stuff. You'd be jealous of that guy. But the last thought in your mind, no matter the time of day, would be somebody stole that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the value of that thing.
Oh, I have it right here. You ready? $55,000.
That's low. I thought it'd be more than that.
Well, maybe it's not a high-end model. Maybe they chintzed out.
Damn. I guess so. But okay, so there's not. They don't have cameras. Is this thing slowly going down the jet?
So they do say they have surveillance videos that they're not releasing to the public right now. But the way that the owner is talking, by the way, the owner says that if they don't get this back, it's a total loss for the company. They're out $55,000. And he was on the news last night begging people for any information to get back his $55,000 machine. So here's the thing. We did learn last year that some of these heavy machines on construction sites, they leave the keys in for workers to use when they get
guys
there.
Are in and out,
And we've heard reports of smaller machines ripped off. But they get backed onto trailers, and then people drive away.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like this was on a trailer. Again, it sounds like somebody got in and drove it away. This is obviously a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel really bad for this company. But you have to admit, this is pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty impressive theft. The balls.
Yeah. Because it doesn't look like you're stealing anything.
Could you imagine the anxiety of slowly driving this thing down the road to wherever they took it? Because you're only doing 15 miles an hour, right?
Yeah, you're creeping.
And where the hell could you take it? In the middle of one of the busiest areas in our community, fast enough where eventually someone didn't have any questions. Because all it would take would be someone in the parking lot to go, wait a minute, that's not there anymore.
So you had to do it overnight.
Maybe.
And head to the country somewhere where you can stash it.
All right, we are open to all theories, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. How the hell do you get this thing away from where it is without being caught?
Because where would you put it to hide it?
That's what I'm asking.
It would have to be out in the country, or you would have to have a big building to park it in, like a shed.
But how do you get it out in the country? Because, okay, let's think about the spot here, right? So Henrietta does back up to some country areas.
Right.
But it's on Jefferson Road, which is nowhere near those spaces. And if you're going to take it out to the country, you can't take that thing on 390.
You can't.
You'd have to take... It does 15 miles an hour.
No, but like you see like those big heavy pieces of equipment, they just put their blinkers on because they're moving it so
much. Not on 390. You can't go under 45. Not on 390.
Yeah, you see them move cranes and heavy equipment on trailers.
They're on trailers. This would not be on a trailer. You'd be...
Wait, I'd be on your mom? What's a big piece of equipment right there, baby?
252-WCMF.
We always leave the keys in it. The older fellers wants to ride.
252-9263. Make that thrust with your hips again. I will punch you in your... You look like a broken puppet. Like one of the Sesame Street puppets they left in a closet for a really long time. Like the rubber started to disintegrate. Again, we're talking about this 30,000-pound wheel loader that was left in the Common Shopping Plaza on Jefferson Road in preparation for the upcoming snow this weekend. It's worth $55,000. Somebody... stole it. Somebody stole it. By the way, Elijah writes on Twitter, it's called a loader! Most construction company, most construction equipment brands, Cat, John Deere, use universal keys. Pretty massive oversight.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, we have some breaking news.
Uh-oh.
252-WCMF. Mike's here. Hey, Mikey. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning.
What up?
How you doing? Yeah, I was reading, Sean actually posted on his Facebook this morning that they found it 37 miles away in Livingston County.
37 miles away?
37, like you said, there's no way they drove it. They had to have put it on a low boy and hauled it out there.
As opposed to a high boy.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
That's what they're called. The trailers that they haul them on.
I was just kidding, Mike. I don't need a background on trailers. I was just kidding. That's my fault. I'm sorry.
It's not that bad boy on a low boy.
All right, but Sean is the guy who owns the company.
Yes, Mr. Fico, yeah.
Okay, I believe Sean is actually online, too. I'm going to jump over to Sean. Mike, thanks for the call. Let's talk to Sean. Sean, what the hell happened?
How are you?
Good, buddy. Well, first of all, congratulations on getting your $55,000 piece of equipment back.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So
it
what?
I didn't think it was going to get recovered as fast as it did, and we're happy about it, that for sure.
All right, Sean, I got some questions I'm going to need you to answer, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay, so did they put it on a trailer? Is that how they got it out of there?
They did not. So all the video surveillance shows somebody coming up on a bicycle at 4:40 a.m.
Okay.
4:40 a.m. on Sunday morning, and actually reviewing, walking around the loader. They actually practiced running it
behind
the plaza for a minute. They end up leaving the plaza at 6:30 a.m. and driving it 37 miles away to Livingston.
So this is Sunday morning, right?
Yes, Sunday morning.
So there's no traffic.
A lot more people would see it, you know?
No traffic.
Okay, but wait a minute. Again, he got it. What's the max speed, Sean, on that piece of equipment?
Oh, about 21 miles an hour.
Bro, so that took him, if he was pedal to the floor, that's a two-hour ride.
To Livingston County.
Yeah, all of he must have made a few stops or didn't have it in the right gear because where he ended up dropping it off or you know disposing of the machine was he didn't get out of it until 11. Well, he didn't get to location until 11:30.
All right, so Sean, let me ask you: do they think he took it to flip it? Was he just going on a joyride? What was the plan here?
It's confusing because the details are he drove it to a seasonal road, drove it to the end. He sat in the machine for 5 hours.
Okay.
And then was picked up at about 4 o'clock. I don't want to give too many details,
sure.
He was picked up by someone at 4:30 p.m. And they got footage of it going, you know, it's 2024, you know, there's cameras everywhere. So, and they also have trail cams that caught it. Bad luck for him. They got
amazing.
Trail cams that caught it going down the seasonal road. So
they don't have the guy yet.
No, not yet. A lot of fingerprints. He left some stuff in the loaders. He left a pop bottle, Gatorade bottle, whatever, and some other things in the loaders that they got fingerprints off of.
Ooh, CSI.
yeah, a little CSI action here.
All right, so Sean, have you...
We're happy.
I'm sorry, I'm happy for you. Have you gotten to the thing? Is it damaged? Have you gotten to it? Have you laid
eyes on? We got it. We went and retrieved it last night when they called us. We immediately sent a low boy out there to pick it up, and there was no damage to the machine at all. They must have been coming back for it. There's a master switch on these machines that shut all the power off the machine. He was kind enough to turn the master switch off, so the battery wasn't dead.
So this guy knew what he was doing.
A little bit.
You know what? Part of me says yes, part of me says no, because he had to practice how to run it behind the plaza.
Well, y'all, you need... I mean, so maybe it's like riding a bike, literally and figuratively, in this story. All right, Sean, now, we're happy you got it back. You saved yourself 55 grand. That's awesome, right?
Yeah.
Especially at Christmas time. Can I make a suggestion, if you don't mind?
I know what you're going
to
say.
No, you don't, because I'm trying to help you, Sean. I'm trying to help you.
Okay.
Look, Tommy, we've heard that, you know, coming across manpower these days, very hard for business owners.
Yeah, yeah.
This man, Sean, managed to get into this thing, drive it 37 miles undetected. He didn't damage it, right? He taught himself how to use it, maybe. Sean, you might want to hire this guy.
Oh.
I swear to you, I told one of my employees that I said, if I find him, he probably end up working for us, that he made sure he knew how to run the machine before he took off in it, and he didn't do any damage to it. You probably will be on payroll.
All right, so moral of the story, steal stuff, get a job.
Yes.
Get a job. Yeah, right. Exactly. Something like that.
Hey, Sean, we're really happy for you, buddy. Thanks for the call. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. I want to say thank you to the entire community. Everyone came together, and they really helped me find it because it would have been a total loss. You can't claim these kinds of things the size of our company. So thanks to everybody who really helped. It's awesome.
All right, good luck with your new employee of the month, bud.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
There goes Sean.
It's just a shadow in a frame.
I there's a detail in that story that I am dying to know.
What's that?
Because when he said the guy got picked up by somebody, who are you calling at that time?
What are your busted buddies?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, don't you have like questions for your buddy? Like, hey, how did you get here and why do you have this?
But you rise to your level of buddy.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew guys that were busted that had other busted buddies that they all kind of ran together as adults. And they gave each other nicknames. Some of them were dairy products. dental work was brought up. You know, and they just kind of hung with each other.
No, I mean, I'll be straight up with you. Even right now, as a married man with children and a semi-professional job, if you call me at 4 in the morning and be like, yo, you got to come pick me up right now. You got to see something?
Yeah.
I'd do it.
I got something pretty cool hanging in the woods.
I would have so many questions, I would have to come check it out. So, and I wouldn't blow you in.
No, why would you?
Just a front. I mean, Sean seems like a nice guy, but, you know, whatever. He'll get it back. So let's talk real quick.
Yeah.
Again, 252-WCMF. We now have news from the owner of the company, Sean, that the 30,000-pound wheel loader that was ripped off out of Jefferson Road's Common Shopping Plaza, that was then, according to Sean, driven from Jefferson Road on public roads, 37 miles into Livingston County without anybody catching it, by a man who practiced on it for hours.
Yeah, in the parking lot.
It's been recovered. Let's say he does get a job.
Yeah.
Let's say you work at this company, Tommy, where they're going to hire this guy that just ripped it off.
Mm.
How do you welcome that guy to the company?
Oh, as the guy, the new guy?
Yeah, because, like, on one hand, pretty impressive what he did.
Right.
On the other hand, he got a job by stealing a $55,000 piece of equipment.
Yeah, that would probably be a little slow burn as an introduction.
Okay.
You're definitely not trusting your lunch around that guy.
Would you be excited to meet him?
I would have some questions. Like, I want to know how this all unfolded.
I mean, I can't tell if this would be the worst first day of work or the best first day of work.
Well, you've actually had a day of work already. You're kind of familiar with some of the things going on.
Do you think he eventually just got bored and was like, I think I'm done using this now?
He could have. Because it didn't sound like he had much of a plan for
right.
it.
37 miles. Yeah, because, I mean, you're right.
Enough for me.
Man, by the way, how big's a gas tank on that thing?
Oh, yeah.
Right? That went a pretty long way. No, man, if they hired someone who was only hired here because they committed a crime, I think I would be super excited to meet that person. Just because, when does that happen?
Yeah, true.
Like, you couldn't sit down in a job interview and explain, I stole one of these before, I know how to ride it. They wouldn't, get out. But you actually stole from the company, and it's like, oh, you know what, maybe I'll think about hiring.
But I have met guys that have gotten fired for ripping off the company. They got fired.
Yeah.
And then they got rehired years later.
Okay.
Like after, but did people know?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, not everybody, but some of the people are still there. And they were that good at their job.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
It does happen occasionally.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. All right. Well, look, I want to talk to this guy really, really bad. Sean, if you're still listening, the man we just talked to who owned this piece of equipment, if you do hire this man, woman, child, whoever it was, I would like to talk to him to get to the bottom of what the hell happened here.
He's going to be super interesting, or are you going to be really disappointed?
Well, I mean, look, if it's really disappointing, how is that different than any other show we've ever done?
So what's going on? You know I love me some Netflix.
This is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah?
Okay.
Because there's got to be a trailer out.
Oh, there's a trailer. Yeah. It's 2 minutes long, bro.
Big news yesterday.
It is a 2 minute long trailer for this brilliant documentary for all the wrong reasons. Mm. Because they say, Tommy, pride will be the death of you.
Oh.
And I think the definition of the term pride will be the death of you is exactly what is happening here. You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. Yesterday, it was announced there is an Aaron Rodgers documentary coming to Netflix on December 17th. It is called, and no, we're not making this up, Aaron Rodgers Enigma, which sounds like he's doing a magic show in Vegas.
Which may be his next gig.
Illusion. So I'm looking at the producers.
Yeah.
It looks like he's involved.
Oh, I would imagine.
At minimum.
So he has a producer's credit.
Now, I don't know if he's an actual producer.
He had some say in it, for sure.
There's no way he did not approve everything that went into this documentary. So, can I read you the synopsis?
Yeah.
Follow the NFL quarterback's rebound from his Achilles injury and get an inside look at the defining and controversial moments of his life and career. So not only do you get the backstory and everything that's happened,
right.
He hints yesterday at his family issues that will be brought up. He's estranged from his parents.
Yeah. His whole family, right?
Yes.
And he's never been married, right?
I don't believe so.
But he's
had famous girlfriends.
Yes.
Not any recently, though.
No. Also, it looks as if they followed him with a camera from the beginning of last season because they get the Achilles injury in the rehab all of the weird ass stuff that he does.
Yeah.
There's several scenes where he has things on his head that I don't understand. Mm. There's like paint on his face that I don't understand.
Okay.
He's like out in some wilderness that does not look like wilderness native to America, right? So all of these things are happening. It makes him look super serious, like he's onto something
mm-hmm.
that none of the rest of us get.
So he sees things differently.
Man! Sorry.
Because I kind of
he has a different
this
view of the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's in Enigma.
Because you got a taste of this when they did Hard Knocks.
Yep.
They did the Jets last year.
Yeah.
And I watched that one. And mm-hmm. he's in it, obviously, a ton.
He's the star of Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
That's why
yeah.
they did Hard Knocks.
Right, so I'm guessing this is kind of like part of that.
Yeah, no. But see, you got Hard Knocks. You got the Aaron Rodgers that they want you to see, man. What
no
you get here,
now.
You get full-on, uncut, pure Colombian Enigma Aaron
totally
Rodgers.
Totally not doing this for the cameras,
no,
Aaron Rodgers.
No.
I got to watch.
Look, it's going to show you what kind of man he really is, as long as he gets to control what they tape, what the final edit looks like, and who gets final say.
Mm.
So the best part of this documentary.
What's that?
It's a three-part series.
Yeah.
It comes out in 2 weeks. If the Jets lose to the Dolphins this weekend, the Jets are officially eliminated from playoff contention.
Mm.
And there is word that he could be benched at some point on Sunday for Tyrod Taylor if things go really bad.
All right, just to finish out the season.
There's already been word about benching him this week. His head coach, Ulbrich,
yeah,
would not commit to him right after the game being the starter for this week, although it looks like he's starting.
Yeah.
What I'm getting at is this. He may not even be a starting QB of an NFL team while you are watching a documentary about his triumphant return to the NFL using methods that we mere mortals
right.
simply don't understand. Right. Because, Kimmy,
yeah.
I think the release date of this documentary is the most interesting part.
Yeah. The 17th?
I think this was supposed to go along with the success that he and a lot of other people thought they would have by this point in the season. Like,
haven't
you know, they
like
kind of thought they'd be on top of the AFC East.
Yep.
This is how I got here, kind
yep.
of like a story about that. And now it's just kind of going to contribute to maybe why you're not there, if anything.
And that's the funniest part of it.
Like, hey, look at all these distractions that turned out to not be a good thing.
She is 100% right. Kimmy nailed it.
Like, if you're his teammates, you got to be like, yeah, obviously, because I think even they were tired of him by training camp,
yeah.
all this crap.
You saw it.
Yeah.
Look, in his mind, the Jets would be in first place preparing for the playoffs
yeah.
on December 17th. He would be all over the TV. He would be a shoo-in for NFL Comeback Player of the Year. And then, to pile it all on, you'd have the hottest documentary on television. Mm-hmm. And Kimmy's right. This documentary will establish why
quite the opposite.
The Jets are a disaster.
Yeah.
And somehow,
yeah.
he doesn't see it. The guy is so arrogant and self-absorbed, he does not
maybe
understand.
Maybe don't go on like a promo tour at this point,
but
right?
that's the funniest part. It's yeah. not even like he's trying to bury it.
Yeah,
he
no,
was
no.
talking about it yesterday.
And you're going to see him talk about it again and again, I would imagine.
This effing guy!
He'd make a great senator. He could run for Senate.
Okay, sure.
You don't think?
In a weird community.
We got plenty of them.
Bro, even Jets fans are done with this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Packers fans are done with this guy. Like, if you, they put the trailer up on Twitter yesterday,
yeah.
and I couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
It's the funniest thing.
I will admit, I'm curious about it.
Does he narrate his own documentary?
That I don't know, because it's just like music and like people talking.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if there's a narration or you're just following him. Like, you're just one of his friends who's taking ayahuasca.
Kind of cool.
Okay. 252 WCMF. Again, on December 17th, Netflix will be releasing a three-part Aaron Rodgers docuseries called Aaron Rodgers Enigma. And it follows him through his Achilles injury, the rehab, all the weird stuff that he does in the offseason. And it also documents other controversies, as they put, that he's been through before. And I think the funniest part of this, past the date that they're going to release it, thinking he was going to be a success, past the idea that he was going to give somebody all access to his weird-ass life and think people would watch that and go like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That this guy, who has everything in the world, can do whatever he wants, has a microphone in his face whenever he wants it, right? His simple words, despite the fact that he is the quarterback of a 3-9 football team that's about to be eliminated from the playoffs and he could lose his job, still believes he has to do this because he doesn't have enough of a platform to say what he wants to say.
Because he needs more attention.
What do you need? Do you need, like, everyone to wear an earpiece at all times where Aaron Rodgers speaks into it to tell you what he's thinking?
But this might be part of what people turn into now in the new modern era of being a quarterback in the NFL.
Like, if you stick around too long?
You get weird, because think of, like...
They do get weird. You're right.
The only normal, successful quarterback, I was just trying to think in my head, because it ain't Brett Favre, who was a phenomenal...
Oh, yeah. No,
well, we know how that ended.
Well, he had a great side business taking welfare money.
Yeah. It ain't Brady. Say. We know
allegedly.
Brady.
Sorry.
Brady's nuts.
Brady is insane. Right. Yes. Yeah.
So it's got to be Peyton Manning, of a successful guy that parlayed it normally into what you would think you would do with your career after football.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right, but now I'm horrified.
Dan Marino's a weirdo,
yeah,
man.
He's a big weirdo.
Yeah, I mean, he now sells, like, crap on TV.
Yeah, he's broke, though.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, yeah. Peyton Manning may be the last guy.
See, now you got me nervous that Peyton Manning has some weird thing going on we just haven't found out
yet.
He
would know about it by now.
Well, does it help, though, that he
and
came...
And he's funny and he's talented.
Does it help, though, that he came from a football family? Like, maybe he was just used to this kind of thing?
I mean,
you grew up a little differently, I guess, than these guys that,
I mean, Archie Manning
weren't around it.
Was a great quarterback on a lousy team.
Sure. By the way, a little overrated, but that's a whole other argument. Look, I guess, though, like, I look at that more as image, that Archie knew how to control the image of his kids. There's nothing, I love Peyton Manning. There's nothing that says that Peyton Manning isn't also a weirdo, because lest we not forget, it was only like 6 years ago that Aaron Rodgers was everybody's All-American. Yeah. He was going to be the host of Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. He was like a charming, funny guy.
I forgot about that.
And then all of a sudden, he took this turn, and it was like, what the hell happened to you? What happened?
I don't know.
What happened?
You know, like, do you think also COVID contributed to that in a way where, like, he was a little bit more... They were a little more isolated, maybe had a little too much time with his thoughts that's where he started to get into all this kind of weird stuff.
But he'd been weird for a while with his family.
Yeah, you're right. His family definitely had some drama.
I mean, it's a good question. I guess the only way to find out is to tune in.
Oh, I got to.
To Aaron Rodgers' Enigma.
I can't wait.
Starting on December 17th. I'm not watching a second of this.
Oh, I'm going to check it out.
Oh, yeah, I got to watch it.
You're going to watch state-sponsored Aaron Rodgers' propaganda?
I'm going to give it at least one episode.
You gotta watch.
I'm not watching it. I do not care.
Netflix
I love
it for like the entertainment Netflix, value.
Netflix does not disappoint.
Okay, no.
They have a way of doing these things that make it entertaining.
There are some where you're like, okay, like this person, they don't, you know the truth and that you know that they're kind of skipping over some things, you know?
But that's part of the entertainment of it, watching them live.
No, man, like I have no patience for a second of that guy talking anymore. Like,
you know why?
Why is it?
Because he reminds you of your daddy. Your dad was full of crap and lied his ass off all the time, and it reminds you of your dad.
No, I don't think my dad would have went hiking in, like, a Peruvian forest.
No, he would have told you he did.
Yes.
With Joe Carter right after he hit that whole run.
That's what I'm saying.
No,
you were raised by a liar.
I don't think... Well, we were all raised by liars, to be fair. Yeah. But like, I don't think it has any... Look, don't get me wrong. I got plenty of daddy issues. Mm. I don't think it's daddy issue stuff. I think it's the... What bothers me...
His arrogance.
But it's past that, because there's a lot of arrogant people, too, that I can, like, tolerate fine.
It's the blaming of other people, too, on top of it.
When you have it so good.
Yeah.
You have it so good. Like, bro, do you know what real problems are?
Did he date Danica Patrick?
He dated Danica Patrick.
He dated a couple famous women who later on were like, that was a little weird afterwards.
But, like, he's a millionaire. He gets to do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. There are people that are going to worship him for the rest of his life because of what he was able to do on the football field, and that's fine.
He's a TV star. He did commercials.
All of these things. For you to act like some persecuted human being, shut up!
He was good at Jeopardy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we don't know that. He was good at hosting Jeopardy.
I thought he played in one of those celebrity ones and crushed it.
Yeah, but remember we found out yesterday that Celebrity Jeopardy is stupid Jeopardy?
All right.
Yeah, so. All right, let's take a break.